Welcome to Carolina's Mortgage Radio with Brandon Kohlberg, Fort Mill, Rock Hill, and Tiki K's number one show for mortgage and real estate. Brandon Kohlberg has been a mortgage advisor for over 14 years and is ready to assist you. Call Brandon now at 704-999-6646. Visit carolinasmortgageradio.com. And now, here is your host, Brandon Kohlberg.
Hello and good morning. Thanks for tuning in to Carolina's Mortgage Radio, the number one radio show for mortgage and real estate. Got a fantastic show lined up for you. Got Robert and Darlene here in studio with us, realtors from Coldwell Banker. Robert, Darlene, good morning. How are you guys?
Very good. Very good. Looking forward to this.
Yeah, fantastic. So thanks so much for being here. You know, lots going on in the marketplace this year. It's obviously been a very, you know, a hot market, which we want to get into and kind of how you guys take advantage of that from a renting and a buying perspective. Today, we're going to talk about both renting and buying and being a homeowner today. But kind of give us a background of your history in the business. Darlene, we'll start with you and kind of set the tone for us today.
Sure. Well, I've been in real estate since 2005, and so I came down here from New England, and I got into real estate shortly thereafter. I'm with Coldwell Banker, the Ballantyne office, and right now I service the Charlotte metro area, which obviously includes, you know, Fort Mill, Rock Hill, as well as surrounding Charlotte. But pretty much what I do is work with real estate investment companies, real estate investment trusts, investors, and you know, personal people buying and selling their houses. So that's what I focus in on.
So real estate investment trust, what exactly is that? That's a term that we hear a lot and have been hearing a lot over the past year, couple years. What is a real estate investment trust?
Well, a real estate investment trust is, it's kind of like mutual funds and stocks. Rather than putting your money in just a few stocks, you'll put in mutual funds and it'll get spread out across, you know, however many hundreds or thousands of stocks are in that mutual fund. Real estate investment trust does the same thing, except it's with houses, you know, okay, residential housing. So mm-hmm. instead of investing in one or two houses or three or four on your own, you put it in a real estate investment trust and it spreads out your risk across hundreds or however many houses they have in the trust.
Yeah, very excellent. And so that is that more like corporations doing that?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So how did you get connected with these big time corporations, investors, things like that mm-hmm. to get started in that
sure.
type of the business?
Well, I worked with property management companies, helping them to price their rentals and market and lease their rentals. I'm not involved in property management, but I help them with the marketing aspect as a real estate agent. And a lot of these large property management companies, they do business, as we know, we have these big investment companies that come in and they pay cash for houses all around the Charlotte metro area. I mean, it's making it difficult for buyers to even find affordable housing because it's not helping with the lack of inventory.
Right.
But that's what they're doing is they're buying up houses, they're paying cash. They'll buy them by the hundreds, literally, in one trust. And so that's what they're doing.
Okay, fantastic.
And so what I'll do is I'll work with the management companies who this is their client, and then I'll list their houses for lease.
So, you know, we'll definitely get into the numbers, but obviously that's got to be a situation where you're, you know, working with a lot of volume, right? A lot of people.
Absolutely. I think I had told you before when we had met that this year I think I've worked with over 300 people putting them into rental homes.
So you've
just
helped,
since
you've
January.
Since January, you've yeah. actually helped 300 families get into a rental home.
Right. But what I do yeah. is I don't help them just find any rentals. Like the houses that I list and that I market,
right,
they'll come to those houses and I'll put them in those specific houses. So I don't necessarily help people go find a rental.
Right.
But what I do is I have rentals that I'm listing and I help put them in there. So I've become very familiar with what we're talking about today,
yeah,
you know, getting people into home ownership. You know, some people
yeah.
can do it now and choose not to, and others people just can't. They're just not ready.
Right, and we'll definitely talk about that and the, you know, the differences between, you know, when the right time is to rent versus when is the right time to buy if you're able to. If you're not, of course, we'll talk about, you know, how to become able to. Thanks so much, Darlene. Robert, give us an idea of, you know, kind of your background, how you've teamed up with Darlene, and you know, kind of what you guys do as a team to best serve the client.
Glad to. I mean, it's I come at it really from your side of the aisle.
Yeah.
My background is mortgage banking, having owned my own firm.
Yeah.
And that's how Darlene and I met, was that she was the realtor on that side of it, and I was providing the financing. And so the collaboration was successful. Well, now I'm full-time in real estate, which is – and you seem to share the same views that we do and fulfilling those dreams. So it's enjoyable to be on this side of the aisle, because I like watching that light come on when they realize that we can own a home.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously I've been doing mortgages for over 15 years now, and that's your background. How has that business kind of transferred over into the real estate? I mean, obviously a lot of similarities. Kind of what's been the that process been like for you, and you know, how do you take that mortgage background into the real estate business to, again, you know, best serve the client?
Good question. I mean, what it's done for me is it's allowed me, you know, having had all that experience in the mortgage banking side of it, it allowed me to be able to recognize some of the minefields that you typically run through, so you can be ahead of it, which is why I'm looking forward to being able to either make, you know, get people to the point of being mortgage ready or walking them through that process of credit repair.
Right.
Because they end up down along a lot of rabbit trails.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this business, of course, is full of that, and there's so much information, so much misinformation, so much disinformation out there that, you know, you really need to be working with a team of professionals to make sure that they're giving you the right information and not just going online. So that's something we talk about all the time. If you've got questions during or after the show, give us a call, 704-999-6646. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. I'm your host, Brandon Kohlberg. We've got Darlene and Robert here with Coldwell Banker. So whoever wants to take this question, you know, what is it you guys have obviously teamed up and kind of joined forces to bring that, you know, full service to your client. What does it mean to have, you know, kind of both of you working together, you know, providing that service?
Robert and I, like he said previously, have worked together quite a bit, and we always have a lot of fun doing it.
Yeah.
We work with people, we stay in touch with people, and we form great relationships with people. And that's what's great about Robert and myself. And we work on different sides of the aisle depending on what it is. Like with this particular business, I'm mostly in the office, and I'm doing a lot of things with investors, investment companies, and Robert really is becoming the face on getting out there and meeting with the people.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's just a contagious person anyway, so
oh, yeah.
it ends up being a great thing. But we're also looking forward to doing things like with our clients and customers, doing some client appreciation parties. Robert's a fantastic singer. We love to break out the karaoke and have all kinds of fun like that.
We'll have to hear that sometime.
Yeah, he is absolutely fantastic. Where do you hear him? But so we like to do things like that. So that's really what we're trying to do, is just have a real estate business that caters to all different levels of people. Like I said, whether you're just somebody buying a home, selling a home, if you're an investor, an investment company, property management company, we cater to all these different people. That's why we're super successful at what we're doing right now, and we've got a great business going. But I think what we're trying to do is stay connected with the people, maintain relationships with them, and then do, you know, our quarterly, you know, every 6 months client appreciation and throw a party for them.
Yeah.
And that sort of thing.
So. Which is a big deal. So, but it sounds like, you know, you're in the office doing all the hard work. Robert's out having fun. Is that how it goes?
Yeah,
Pretty much. And I kind of like it that way.
Oh, yeah. That's the good part of our business, right? Getting out, networking, and working, you know, directly with the clients. That's the fun part. And that's what really is so rewarding, to see the kind of the end fruits of what we do, right? To help people into a home.
Yeah, that's when you see that light come on for the first time and they start realizing that it is a possibility.
Yeah.
They can have that. And you're a guide. You're a scout for them.
Yeah.
And walk them through there. And it's your business is probably very similar to mine in that so much of it is referral,
right.
repeat business. Mm-hmm. And I would say that probably 80% of it comes from that. And you build relationships with these people.
Yeah.
You know who their kids are.
Walk us through that process. What does that look from your side? You know, you're kind of out and about, you know, directly involved with the clients. Walk us through that process for, you know, just that extra level of service that you guys are able to provide as a team where, you know, you kind of split up some of the work and you're, you know, directly handholding, you know, with the client, so to speak. Walk us through that process and, you know, why and how do you guys do it differently?
Well, how it starts, I am the contact person
okay.
for any of the real estate listings that we have out there. So I also have a very direct and constant communication with them. It's
yeah.
just mostly over the phone.
Gotcha.
It's either, you know, email, text, over the phone, and I establish a relationship with them. And I was doing this by myself for a long time, and I was also going out in meeting the people. But then as business grew, it just became too much for one
right.
person to do. So Robert and I, who have been working together on other things for years, he has come in recently to help because
awesome.
I know that he's got a very complimentary personality, to the business. So I'm still communicating with them. But then when it is going out and meeting the people and having the face-to-face, you know, that's what Robert has been doing. And it's been great because, I mean, people just really enjoy him and he's very professional and so that's kind of how our business is running right now.
Awesome. So what are some of those things that you do when you're meeting with the client?
Well, one of the first things you do is talk to them about some of the pitfalls that may be there or identify some of the areas that you may need some work on.
Yeah.
Find out what their needs are and what their wants are. Now, if you can fulfill
Absolutely.
All their wants, that's great. But
right.
what are their needs? And honestly, from day one, as you're discussing the possibility of leasing a single-family home, when you get into that, most of these people already have the intention of eventually having home ownership.
Sure.
And you recognize that from the front end, and mm-hmm. you start grooming them in that direction. And we're fortunate in that there's a lease-only single-family community that we work with.
Yeah.
And all of the folks that we've dealt with and spoken to, their intent is to eventually own their own home.
Right.
And I think it's a great alternative going, you know, when I went to home ownership, I went directly from an apartment to a house. Well, I made a lot of mistakes when I did that. So this is a great transition for someone that's going from apartment living to single family with the intent of having their own home. So it gives us the opportunity to work with you.
Right.
And groom these folks to where they are ready. And by the time you get to that point, they know what kind of house they want. They know the area they want to be in.
Yeah.
And so it's a great thing. And a huge amount of the people are tenants that are relocating here, looking to get to know the area.
Right. Need a house fast, not sure about the area just yet.
And so then we can be a trusted advisor. By that time, you have built this rapport. And some of the folks that I've dealt with to this day, when I go into that community to hold an open house, I'll see them as I'm walking up, setting up my little open house signs, and they literally come out, big hug.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for working with me.
Yeah,
and
fantastic.
They just need the guidance.
Yes, I definitely want to talk about that. Lease to own neighborhood. It's, you know, such an interesting concept. It wasn't one that I was very familiar with. So Darlene, is this one of those real estate investment trust situations, the REIT as they call it, where a corporation owns this particular neighborhood and they're just, it's essentially a full neighborhood, single family homes that are just for rent. Yeah,
exactly. What they call it is a built to rent community.
Okay.
So they literally built the entire subdivision in order to rent out every house in the community. So you could think of it as, like you would with multifamily apartment housing or whatever, would be similar to that, except you get a whole house, you get four bedrooms, you have a two-car garage. There's no carpet on the first floor. A lot of people don't like that anymore. It's granite countertops, stainless steel appliances. And so what we did, because this is a leasing community, and just to clarify, it's not leased to own. It's just for lease.
Right. It's essentially an apartment complex, but yeah, actual single-family homes in a full neighborhood.
So there's 79 houses in there, and every one of them is for rent. So one of the things that we had to consider at the very beginning was, what can you do to make this not look like the when you think the stereotype of a rental community, you think maybe yards. I mean, that doesn't apply to everybody that rents, but overall in a rental community, you think that things just kind of escape maintenance.
Sure.
So one of the things that we had talked about right from the beginning was that you would be very, very wise to maintain the integrity of the neighborhood as it is now, and maintain the integrity of the neighborhood if you do decide to sell 7, 8, 9 years, whatever your long-term mm-hmm. strategy is to include the yard care in the front and the backyards of all the houses. That way everybody's house is maintained throughout the entire community, and it just keeps that level of pride in appearance. So that was one of the things. And then one of the other things that we find is that the houses are much more in demand, and you can get more per month, is if a house has a fence. Sounds like a simple thing.
Right.
But people have kids, they don't want to get out. People have animals, they don't want to get out, or they want privacy. So at first we had talked about maybe putting a fence in every yard, but then we didn't know if that would kind of look odd or if it would just be too much, because the yards aren't huge, you know, in the newer subdivisions. So what ultimately was decided was that you could have a 6-foot privacy fence. You pay a $250 installation fee and then an additional $50 per month. Mm-hmm. So basically it's the community, and the entire community, lawn care is included, front and backyards. And if you would like a 6-foot privacy fence, you have that option. You pay a little bit more for it, but if the fence was already there, we always charge a little bit more for houses with fences anyway. So it's been a super success. We just, like I said, 79 houses. I think we have over 60 leased just since the spring, I think, is when we first started. And we have people that call, you know, they want to know when the next 4-bedroom is, the next 5-bedroom is. So that's kind of how the community started. And, yes, that has to do with, like, one of those real estate investment trusts where they come and these, you know, they were going and they're buying houses all over the place, and there's just such a shortage that this just So it's something new, and you don't really see built-to-rent communities. It's something very, very new across the whole country. I don't even know how many there are.
Right.
But now they'll be doing another one up in North Charlotte as well. I think they've already broke ground on.
Okay. So if you and Charlotte, any news on any of those particular projects coming down Fort Mill, Rock Hill areas?
Not that I'm aware of, but I think that probably projects like this are being eyed investors or investment companies or whatever. I did have one person call me one time recently. He had heard about the neighborhood, and he has a bunch of land over on South Boulevard, right off of South Boulevard, between South Boulevard and 77. And so he wanted to discuss the whole concept of the community, you know, what his likely rental rates were, and he went over, you know, all those sorts of things. So potentially, and this really is a private investor, this would not be one of those big companies, but he had just inherited land, just, you know, lucked out and had that going for
tough
him.
Tough luck.
Yeah, exactly, right. So, you know, so it definitely, I get calls off the sign all the time, people asking, what is this? You know, this is one for lease. I mean, it's just such a new thing. So it's caused my phone to ring quite a bit on many different levels.
Yeah.
Not just for people wanting to rent, or people, a lot of people drive by, they think they're for sale, they're disappointed that they're not, you know. And then even investors like this who just find it super interesting.
Yeah, so certainly a very interesting concept. And so if you're wanting any information on this type of rental home, give us a call anytime during or after the show, 704-999-6646. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. I'm your host, Brandon Colberg. We've got Darlene and Robert here in studio with us, Coldwell Banker, talking about rental and rentals and the opportunity to buy a home, which, Robert, you kind of touched on earlier. So you guys get a lot of calls. You're the leasing agents for these newer developments, these rental homes, leasing neighborhoods is what you call it, I think. So walk us through the process of what you do after you get these renters in the homes, obviously, or why are they deciding to rent? Let's talk about that first off.
Well, the motivation could be, excuse me, their motivation will vary, where you may have the person that's relocating to the area, wants to learn the area, you know, they're here because of a job transfer or whatever that may be. Now, and then you have some other people that are tired of the apartment style, want a yard, they want some place to park their car where they're not getting dinged up all the time,
right.
You know. And so they're transitioning to that.
Yeah.
And so it's really an eclectic group of people. I mean, it's not something where you could boil it down to it's just this, it's just that.
For sure.
And so to me, it's very interesting because I like that. Mm-hmm. And defining goals. What is it they're looking for?
Right.
You know, encouraging them to work toward those things. And once you're successful in getting them into a home, it's a matter of staying in contact.
Right.
You know, be part of that. You've got to be so much more than just a servicer.
100%.
You know? And so you've got to put some time, you've got to invest in them and recognize those things. But it's very fulfilling. It to me, on my side of it, it's more fun than the mortgage side was.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because I love getting
maybe I need
out
to get
there.
It. Maybe I need to switch myself.
Come on. You know, we'll do drive-bys, you know. But it's neat getting out in those neighborhoods and meeting folks. And invariably, when I'm out there with, you know, a customer, I end up meeting the neighbors.
Yeah.
And they start asking questions.
Right.
Which is really exciting.
Yeah. So and I'm sure they've all got, very, you know, interesting stories. You know, a lot of people move into town. They're not sure about the area, like you said, and for many of those, you know, a short term rental, a year or two, whatever it may be, even, you know, maybe their best situation while they kind of get settled in the area. So you guys help them get settled, and typically you're reaching out to them, you know, if they want to, you know, eventually, you know, buy their own home. Walk us through that process, you know, kind of what you do and maybe that conversation of the needs and the wants and the goals and dreams type of thing.
Well, like Robert was just saying, there's obviously a lot of people that relocate here and they're renting solely because they want to discover the area and they want to make sure they make the right decision on where they are. So you have those people. What we like to offer to those people are some of those people haven't bought a house for 20 years.
Right. And renting a home, let's be honest, is very tough. There's not many out there, and so this rental neighborhood definitely fills a need gap, right?
Absolutely, it does. Whether it's this community or any rental home, but they move in, they want to have a temporary place to stay, so they rent a home. But what we like to offer to them as well is the chance to do not a first-time buyer, but a home buying class or home buying seminar.
Yeah.
Because things have changed. They are coming here from New York or California. The laws are very, very different here. So it behooves them to get involved in one of our programs with Brandon as well so that they can learn what the real estate laws are in North Carolina or South Carolina and be prepared to buy a house here when they do decide where they want to be. And then we have other people that we're placing in homes who would love to be able to buy a house right now, but they can't. And the issue is, you know, a down payment, but there are different down payment assistance programs
right.
and things like that. But most of the people that I work with as far as people that are renting houses is they just don't have the credit score.
Yeah.
And really that's where we're really hoping to facilitate those people. Because I hear all the time, people, they really, really understand how important credit is. They let their credit go. They didn't understand it. So, number one, they have to understand credit, and they have to understand how it works. And a lot of times, unfortunately, people don't understand how important it is until they don't have it and they
right.
need it.
Right.
And that's when they realize, oh, my gosh, I got to get this together and learn how to deal with my credit. So we like to help people get their credit scores up. But they just don't know how to do it. And a lot of people who don't know how to do it end up going to these credit repair companies.
Right.
And as much as a place as they may have, sometimes it does make me cringe because I also do feel like they are paying for a service that does not need to be paid for.
Right.
So they're paying for all this money every single month, when in reality, if they are connected to the right professionals in real estate and in mortgages, they can be advised for free what they can do to have immediate impact on that credit score. You
right.
don't necessarily have to drag it on and pay this fee to a credit repair company every single month when you can have a personal one-on-one, you know, through a credit repair program with a real estate professional and mortgage professional And some people might have a 560 credit score, and it can get bumped way up in 2 months just by making a couple little things. Other people, they need more of a plan over a course of time.
Right.
So those – and the reason why I'm delving into that a little bit is – or more than a little bit – is because that is what I see more than anything, is this real strong, true desire to want to own a home.
Right.
You know, they're going to get for the same payment per month, they're going to have a better house, or they're going to live in the same quality house for a lesser payment because the rents are so high in the Charlotte metro area now.
For sure.
So they really want that. They're going to have the tax write-off, you know, the tax deduction. So that really is that is the biggest probably group.
Yeah. So much of what you do, it sounds like, is just the education part, right? Mm-hmm. You know, really working with the clients. You know, they don't – a lot of times, you know, they don't obviously do this for a living. Maybe they didn't know about credit. Maybe, you know, they don't know what is required from a down payment perspective. You know, they don't know what's required from just the opportunity to buy a home. And so a lot of what you do is, you know, working and educating, right?
Yes, sir. I mean, that's the biggest thing. And it is definitely a team sport.
Oh, for sure.
You know,
yeah.
It's I think the first thing you do is you build that trust and confidence in them.
Right.
But I also believe that myself, from this side, you know, this side of the aisle, I have to understand my limitations. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you know.
Yep.
And I'm going to come to you because I trust you to have that discussion and say, here's the situation I'm dealing with. Can you help evaluate this? What are the best things for them to do? Otherwise, they're going to be spending $50, $75, $100 a month to repair something, and there's really no incentive for these credit repair companies to take them off the program.
Right, you know, string them along.
So let's just keep this going. And at the end of the day, what do they have? They don't have a pre-approval to go out and get a mortgage.
Right.
You know, and unfortunately, some of these people wake up things, as you've indicated to me, that should have been left alone.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, obviously, what I do is a lot of education as well. And so, you know, we've kind of, you know, obviously we work together and to provide, you know, the highest level of education and handhold the clients so they're not wasting money. And far too often, you know, I'll have wannabe homeowners, you know, come to me. Hey, I've been working on my credit. I've been using, you know, such and such, you know, company. And so everything they've been doing has just essentially been a waste of money. I've got a client right now that had a $2,500 medical collection. And unfortunately, you know, that's a lot of money. Someone had told her to just go pay it and thinking that that would, you know, benefit her. And she paid it. And her scores dropped. Mm-hmm. And, of course, she was completely shocked about this. But, you know, it comes down to there's a lot of misinformation out there. You know, she was trying to do, you know, a good thing by, you know, paying a bill. Unfortunately, just the way that credit works, you really got to know how it works. And to do that, you really got to be working with, you know, an expert in the field. And so much of what we do is education, providing the right information. And in that situation, we could have saved her $2,500. She just got to me a little bit late, unfortunately. But we're, you know, still working with her and going to get her into a home. And unfortunately, she's just out $2,500 extra.
And I think that's the importance of working with a mortgage professional versus a credit repair company.
Right.
Because the mortgage professional is putting you in the position to be able to get a mortgage.
Right.
The credit repair person is helping you, you know, the purpose is they're helping you to build your credit. But just because your credit is built, say you have a 630 credit score, oh, that's high enough to, you know, I'm over 620, that doesn't mean you can get approved. Because
right.
You may still have things on there that are going to prevent you from doing that. So that's why they need to seek out somebody who is a mortgage professional, such as Brandon, and work with him and let him assess their whole credit profile and help them to make the right moves so that they're mortgage ready. So you can have two 630s. One could buy a house, one might not get approved. But that's the whole difference between having the right advice.
Yeah, that's such a great point. You know, I'll get calls all the time from, you know, from both realtors and potential home buyers. Hey, what's your minimum credit score? Well, it's not that simple, right? So, it's not just what your credit score is, but what makes it, what is on your credit report that could be the make or break situation to get approved versus not approved. And you're absolutely right, Darlene. When you're working with me, you know, we're going to work to get you approved and get the necessary score, not just get a score to a certain point that may or may not get you approved. So very big difference. And of course, you know, I've been doing it for years and have, you know, tons of experience in that, but also do it for free. I'm not charging the client, whereas some of these credit repair companies are trying to, you know, get paid for months and months and months, even years and years and years. And they just kind of string it out, which most of that, if not all of it, you know, can be done by the client for free with just some good education. And that's what we try to provide.
That and more, because you also prevent them from, you know, stop them from doing the wrong thing. Well, because I hear, too, about people saying, you know, I'm trying to get a mortgage, so I'm paid off all my credit cards and I closed all my accounts. And it sounds good in theory, right, not to be credit dependent, but that credit is a tool. And that's what they have to learn, is not just how to get their credit score, but they have to learn that this is a tool. It's not so much that you can have money that you can pay back later. It is a tool that opens doors of opportunity for you down the road in so many ways, and also saves you money. The better credit score you have, the more money you save in a lot of different things. So
definitely. So if you're interested in saving money, don't throw it away with a credit repair company. Just give us a call, 704-999-6646. I'm your host, Brandon Kohlberg. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. Robert, tell us about, you know, some of these events that you guys do. I know you do a lot of first-time home buyer seminars. Some of these, you put a lot of people into rental homes, and for a lot of those people, you know, that's the what they desire best. A lot of them obviously want to become home buyers. What do you guys do to get that education, to get that information out to the masses?
Well, one of the things we're doing, particularly in this one particular community, is creating a sense of some synergy that's there. And quite frequently, you know, they're fractured, and so you pull this group together, and the commonality is really what pulls them together. That, and it is fun.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do it unless it's fun.
Right.
I mean, it's just the way it is. And so I think that when you approach it from there, and you've already established a relationship with these folks from the front end of it, so they're more comfortable with revealing some of the, you know, some of the things that they have challenges for, what their aspirations are. And then when you pull those folks together and they realize they're not in there alone.
Right.
There's a lot of people that are in the same boat. They either need to do the credit repair thing, or they want to head toward home ownership. But it does give them a sense of community. When you pull all these folks together, it is a lot of fun, because you just see the light come on, and they want it.
Right. And so you get, you know, these large groups of people that are renting. You find out, or they find out, they've got a lot of in common, right, with other people. And so whether it's credit issues or you know, down payment issues or life change issues or, you know, job change, whatever it may be, they can kind of find some comfort in that. So you obviously help them through that and get that education out. Tell us about some of these home buyer, where they create this synergy at these home buyer workshops that you do. You know, Darlene and or Robert, and kind of how you get this information, you know, how you educate the clients with things like, you know, credit repair and, you know, different types of mortgage products, which we'll talk about, you know, and how you take their desire to become a homeowner to actually an actionable plan.
Well, when you have the group together, you're really painting in broad strokes. And you just really you're educating them as far as what is possible for them. And then when you start getting into the details of it, at that point, you're breaking them out, you know, because they're going to be more comfortable having that one-on-one discussion. And you really have to be in the moment when you're talking to them. So you would present to them what the possibilities are, whether it's credit repair or becoming mortgage ready. And then at that point, do you want to take that next step?
Yeah.
And there's got to be accountability. You can't do the work for them. And you actually sit down with them as an individual and map out what the process is, which is the same approach that you have.
Yeah. And describe that process for us. Like, how do you map that out with them? Going back and forth. Who answered?
Yeah.
No, you can continue.
No, I mean, you sit down, and I think from my experience in the mortgage industry, it allows me to kind of ask some of those broad questions. Of course, it has changed a lot since I was in it. But there are some benchmarks that you can walk through with them and determine, what do you want to do? Start looking and asking them about income and gathering that information and then getting with you and say, here's kind of the complexion of this deal. And then as far as I'm concerned, if what their aspirations are is to own a home, the sooner I get them to a mortgage professional that shares the same core values as me and the client, the better off they're going to be.
Yeah, and we certainly appreciate that. You know, obviously we have conversations about, hey, if you have somebody who wants to buy a house, get them over to me so I can walk them through my process and get them back to you so you can walk them through your process, which is, helping them getting their needs and desires and wants and hopes and dreams regarding the actual property. So, my process, of course, when you're sending, one of those renters who wants to become a homeowner my way, of course, that process is, number one, getting the application done, finding out where they want to be in price range and monthly payment, finding out what their financial plan is for the future. We talk a lot about making sure the client is very well taken care of from a, full financial perspective. We don't just want to give them a mortgage. We want to help them out financially. And so, where do they want to be on the payment? How does it work? We're going to take the application, review their credit. Maybe there's some things that need to be cleaned up. There's and of course, one of the services I provide is, credit analysis. We'll put a game plan together for them so they know exactly what they need to do to become credit approved. And we're going to look at the income, assets. I think there's definitely misinformation out there for what these potential home buyers think they have to have for a down payment. There's so many different programs out there that are little to no down payment. Obviously first-time home buyer programs, FHA or your USDA, and even some conventional programs for first-time home buyers that allow a much smaller down payment with lower mortgage insurance on those types of loans. So again, same business. We're educating the client, walking them through the step-by-step process. And once we do all that, we're going to outline the process for them. Hey, here's what the next, 15, 20, 30 days, or maybe it's longer. Maybe they've got some things to work on. I'm going to give them an outline process so they know exactly what to do and how to do it. When someone's, when I'm working with someone, we're not going to leave any guesswork, because that's where people get upset, kind of get depressed. Maybe they talked to another mortgage person. Maybe they just had a bad score and they just denied them and didn't give them a roadmap to how to be approved. So we want to do that. We want to provide real education and, a roadmap to become a homeownership. We fully believe in homeownership. So many statistics out there that show that, homeownership is such a great wealth building tool.
I completely agree. And one of the things that I think is super important is the communication between the team.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously,
you got to have great communication, right?
Absolutely. And, I mean, you being able to share that information with me as the broker, trying to help the client find, a home is paramount.
Yeah,
and because it would be like going into the football game and the quarterback's doing one play and the end's doing some other play. Well, it just doesn't work. I mean, you've got to have that common goal to move them toward that. And they need to feel like they're part of the process and then understand what is the value that we bring to them.
Right.
We can't just assume that, he does the mortgage. Well, And sometimes you just have to point that out to them.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it is being very realistic, you know, setting the proper expectations. All the reason why, you know, you need a team of trusted, you know, people to work with if you're wanting to buy a home. So what, you know, the real estate agents, like, you know, like yourselves, the mortgage lender, it really does take a team effort. You know, I've had, you know, clients, you know, come to me and you know, tell me they want a payment of $1,000, and then they tell me they've been looking at $300,000 houses, and their agent has been showing them $300,000 houses before they came to me, but they can't afford that. So it's part of that is about being realistic. Well, hey, if you want a $1,000 payment, you can't buy a $300,000 house unless you're putting a substantial amount down. So, you know, it's about setting the realistic expectations. And quite frankly, you know, people aren't doing this every day like we are. They just don't know. Some people go online and do a mortgage calculation, and they get the principal and interest payment, but they're not thinking about potential mortgage insurance or homeowner's insurance, property taxes. So, again, it's just maybe a little bit of ignorance in that process, which is all the reason why, you know, to work with people who are going to give you the right information, the realistic information, expectations, and kind of lay that process out for you.
Yeah. Well, with that said, what you were saying, they want the $300,000 house, but they only want to spend $1,000. There's still some education in there, too, that's wealth building. In the sense, you might not be able to have this $300,000 house, and you're disappointed that you can only have the $1,000 a month house. But don't look at that, because that's a perfect future rental opportunity of your first investment home. So you get into a home, instead of paying rent, you move into the home, you live there for a while, you save up some money, you know, your salary increases, whatever it is, or you just make a decision that you want to spend more money on a next house and move up a level. So instead of selling that first house, you just keep that first house. You move out, you get your second house, you rent that one out, and you let somebody else be in there every single month, you know, and pay your house off over the next 10, 20, 30 years, depending on how much you're paying for it. But that's how a lot of young people, you know, start to acquire investment property, which over the course of time, I mean, even with the ups and downs in the real estate market, over the long course of time, real estate's a good investment. So
100%.
But that's kind of the upside to share with somebody as far as a real estate buyer. Okay, you can't afford this.
Right.
You can afford this, but look at this as a potential opportunity that maybe this can be your first investment home. You're just going to happen to live in it for the first 2 or 3 years.
Right. And so, I love y'all's background as far as, you know, how many people that you work with from renting and home buying. I think it really gives you guys a great depth of knowledge to provide options for clients. And I think that's a huge, huge value-added service. So if you guys, anybody listening home needs that type of information, give us a call, 704-999-6646. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. I'm your host, Brandon Kohlberg. Got Darlene and Robert here in studio with us. Talking about that background, I mean, I think there's, you know, so much value there. And I don't know if there's a question there other than just a statement that, you know, I really respect that, that you guys work with so many different people, renters, home buyers, all different walks of life, people moving from out of town to, you know, to people that are just trying to maybe climb the ladder. Maybe they're in an apartment right now, but they want to be in a home, but maybe they're not able to buy right now. You guys spend a great deal of time working with them, getting to know them. Robert, I think, you know, you're instrumental in that part. And then providing that coaching and game plan, which you guys do with, you know, a lot of first-time homebuyer seminars. And, of course, you know, I've been a part of a few to talk about, you know, the mortgage side of things. So, which is just fantastic. Anything that, you know, I'm not brought up that you guys want to highlight, you know, about that process?
One of the things I like about it is the fact that I feel like for once we have every club in the bag. You know, you don't always want to begin.
Good golf analogy.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, so you know, you don't want to be in the sand trap. Well, if you are, you're kind of glad you got the club to handle it. You know, so it's exciting to be able to do those things. And it's, again, it's a very eclectic group. You have everybody from, you know, young people for their first home. Mm-hmm. Or moving into a rental, or you'll have folks that are downsizing and wanting to do things.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of fun to be able to get out there and invest in them and just see the return, because you do. I mean, it is nothing more satisfying than realizing you get somebody with you're giving them what they want.
Right.
Instead of just pushing something that you might have.
Well, that's a good way to put it.
And we work, or at least I work, a lot with investors as well. So we're talking about the relocating buyer. We're talking about the person not quite ready to buy that wants to buy. But I've probably, and I really am expert at rent analysis on houses in the entire Charlotte metro region.
Describe that a little bit more for some of our listeners who don't quite understand that. Maybe they want to become, you know, an investor. Talk about that rent analysis.
Right. Well, first of all, just a little bit of background. I've been doing this for about 5 years now, and I've priced, you know, rental evaluations, thousands of homes. I mean, I've put thousands of people in homes the past 5 years. I mean, like over 300, you know, just the first 6 months of the, or 7 months of this year. Anyway, so what I also do is I also do the evaluation, the rental evaluations on pricing the home. What is a reasonable and realistic market rate for a certain property, because an investor, that means a lot to call that right.
Cash flow is everything.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely, because sometimes you'll have investors and they're told that it can rent for $1,800 a month, and then the property will come to me and I'll look at it and I'm like, that's not happening. I mean, that is just not realistic. So sometimes I'm put in this precarious position of they've had somebody that has kind of maybe overpromised, or maybe they just didn't know the market locally as well as I might know. And a lot of times they're comparing this house, this house, this house, and this house, and they shouldn't be compared. They might all be 2,400 square feet. They might even all have granite. But there's things that are on there that are going to detract people, and it's going to lower the price. Like, for example, one we did recently, you know, the house on the hill. You know, it's on a hill. The driveway's on a hill. Doesn't sound like a big deal. But when there are other opportunities out there, people don't want that for the same price. They don't want to deal with a driveway that's on the hill. When that house first came up, I was like, this is going to be a problem. But they priced it anyway, didn't listen to me, and ended up renting for what I said it was going to rent at.
Yeah.
So, you know, so you have the buyers and sellers, but you also have the investors. And investors need to have somebody that knows what they're talking about as far as what they can honestly get. Other times there's things about a certain property that I know they can get higher than what they've been told.
Yeah.
But I'm a member of the, obviously, the Charlotte Metro MLS. I'm also a member of the Columbia, South Carolina MLS. And I'm also a member of the Raleigh-Durham Triangle Area MLS. Because the reason why I am in those three MLSs is because I represent investors all across North and South Carolina.
Okay.
Hundreds of properties.
Yeah.
And those are the areas that I know and that I deal with. So it's important to have a real estate agent that knows what they're talking about when it comes to investment properties.
Yeah, yeah. So I do real estate investing, you know, a little bit. That number is huge. I mean, that determines everything in a cash flow and from an investment side of things. Yeah. That's – you got to have someone who knows what they're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if someone, you know, is listening and wanting to become, you know – buy a home as an investment property, what are the things that you know, kind of talk about to your investors? What are some of your seasoned investors interested in that could maybe help some of the maybe a beginner?
Well, pretty much what I do is mostly I'm working with investment companies that have investors.
So
I work with the
companies.
Investors, but yeah. I end up almost inheriting the investors who have already purchased a lot of the times these houses. And then their rentals come to me in order to list them and get them rented.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll price the properties for them.
What are the two most important things that they look for in a property?
Well, they're looking for cash flow. But what I'm looking for is advising them. You can have cash flow, but it's still important to pick the right property.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you still, if you want to, if you're going to turn around and sell it, or I mean, there's like a million different things, but you know, they want the cash flow, but it still has to be the right property. There's a lot of things that I would immediately rule out on an investment property that might look good on paper, but in reality,
describe some of those things. What could potentially not look good on paper, but actually make the property maybe not worth it?
Yeah, well, like, for example, I'll go back to the one we were just talking about, you know, the driveway on the hill with the slope on the hill. Nobody wants to mow that yard. The backyard
was tiered. So if you're just looking
tiered.
On paper, you're
but
not going to see that.
Yeah, on paper, they're saying it's going to rent for this, this. Everybody loved the house all the time, but we just could not get rid of that thing until we dropped the price, till it became worth it just for somebody to have a house on the hill, because now it's a nice house for a much less price. So it's things like that, looking at those details, which I come across all the time.
Sure.
You know, in doing this. You can just stand out, but a lot of times these people that are helping them buy the investment properties, they don't narrow in on these things. Or, for example, this is another thing, when they're looking at rental rates and they're drawing comparables so they can price a particular property. I go through those comparables with a fine-tooth comb. Like, I'll look. If the rent seems high on two of them, I'll look. Why? Oh, well, what do you know? One of them was rented furnished. Oh, what do you know?
Gotcha.
One of them was a six-month lease. You always charge a premium for a six-month lease.
Right.
Oh, well, what do you know? You know, so a lot of times they're just grabbing all the highest comps that they can. But when you take the time, instead of having like just a blanket look at something, a blanket look at comps, I'll assess every one. I'll look at what's the condition of this or what, you know. And that's what makes all the difference. And you have to know which ones to throw out, because then when it comes and there's an expectation that it's going to be listed and leased for this particular price and it doesn't, there's a reason for it. And that happens enough.
Sure. I mean, yeah, that's the definition of working with a expert in the field, right? So, I mean, you actually have the knowledge and the experience to dig
and
into.
And the diligence.
And, yeah.
It's the diligence.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so to dig into those comparable sales, comparable rent analysis, and determine all the small details of why and, you know, that those sorts of things, which is maybe you're not getting with.
Well, you know, we just ran in.
Someone who just doesn't do it as often as you do.
Yeah, an issue in Raleigh, a four-bedroom, three-and-a-half-bath townhome, and it was supposed to be getting, you know, well over $2,000 a month. Well, the comps just didn't make sense. The best comps that I could even come up all in the Raleigh area would be $1,700, but they're saying $2,400. Well, as you dig deeper, you realize it's in a college area, and they're probably doing rooms for rent. So you can get a lot more when you're renting four bedrooms, $600 per room, than a four-bedroom place is not $2,400, it's $1,700. But when they rent them per room like that, but when the investor purchased it, it was not per room. It was one lease.
Yeah.
However, it was done under the assumption of that. So now it's very difficult to rent now for $2,400 a month with you know, if your management company doesn't do per room leases. But I'm just saying that these are the things that you have to consider. And these investors are in a little bit of a pickle, because now they are thinking they're getting $2,400 a month and they can barely get $18.
That's a big pickle.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in becoming a investor, maybe you already are, and want to work with someone who is going to look at all the details and make sure that you're well taken care of from an investment perspective, give us a call, 704-999-6646. You're listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio here with Darlene and Robert from Coldwell Banker. Seasoned professionals when it comes to market rent analysis, helping renters into the Charlotte-Fort Mill area, and then giving them the proper education to become homeowners if they so choose. Robert, did we leave anything out, brother? You've been quiet for a little bit. Darlene's kind of taking the stage from you.
Are you kidding? I'm taking notes over here.
Oh, yeah.
She amazes me when she gets into that investor portfolio, because that's just fun to me.
Oh, yeah.
And I referred somebody last night to her that's vacillating about whether they want to sell the home. They're buying a new home, and they're vacillating as to whether or not they want to sell it or lease it out. Mm-hmm. I said, well, you know what? We can pull the curtain back on that, and you'll know.
Yeah, you guys are perfect for that.
I said, Darlene, we'll evaluate it, and then you can decide.
Perfect. Love you guys' background, history, experience, and how you're able to help the clients in situations just like that. Darlene, Robert, pleasure to have you guys on. Thanks so much. We appreciate you tuning in as well at home. We'll be back next week. You've been listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio. I'm your host, Brandon Kohlberg. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Carolina's Mortgage Radio with Brandon Kohlberg, Fort Mill, Rock Hill, Antigua K's #1 show for mortgage and real estate. call Brandon at 704-999-6646 or visit Brandon Kohlberg online at carolinasmortgageradio.com. Join Carolina's Mortgage Radio again next Saturday morning beginning at 9 a.m. right here on WRHI FM 100.1.